your light and bring me joy. You're my shelter from the storm. You're my guide, you will provide. All my hope is in your hand. You're the love, you are my heart. Nobody, nothing can take your place. I want you more than riches and fame. I lift my hands, I praise your name. You're the light, yeah, bring me joy. You're my shelter from the storm. You're my guide, you will provide. Oh, my hope is in your hand. You're the love, you and my heart. Nobody, nothing can take your place. I want you more than riches and fame. I lift my hands, I praise your name. You're the living water. Let your glory fall. You're my heart's desire. Hear me when I call. I've been waiting at the river. Come and touch us all. Shelter from the storm. You're my guide, you will provide. All my hope is in your hands. You're the love, you won my heart. Nobody, nothing can take your place. I want you more than riches and fame. I lift my hands, I praise your name. You're the living one. Partner.
some miracles to overcome this week? How many got some miracles you need to overcome? Let's sing it one more time before we go on. Come on.
Excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. If you came ready to give, say amen. Go ahead and prepare yourself for this morning's tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. And when you get ready, you can stand with me. We've been talking about simple things like seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things. See, we believe in prosperity. We believe it's in the Word of God. But money is never the target. Money is never the focus. Amen? Though that's the other things that God adds to you. Amen? But you should expect that. And you shouldn't be worried or uncomfortable when God does start to bless you, because He wants to use you. Amen? But so many times we get caught up in worrying about money, and when you worry about money, it gets you into fear. And how many of you know fear will paralyze you? Now, you may have $10 in your wallet, and it's not enough to pay a bill. Amen? It's not going to make or break you, but fear will cause you to hold on to it so tightly. Amen. nothing's going to be able to pry it out of your hand. But that's not the way God called us to live. Amen? Amen. God wants us to be open. Amen. Able to receive, able to give. Amen. God wants to cause money to flow through you. He wants to use you as a vessel. Amen. Amen. So if you've got some faith, I want you to stand with me and bless God with your seed, with your offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you this morning. We give you the glory. We thank you that you've caused us to prosper. We thank you that you are causing us to prosper for your kingdom and for your glory, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're encouraging those that are here in their faith. Lord, that you can do great things in their life, that they don't have to accept the status quo, and they don't have to accept mediocrity, and they don't have to accept what they see around them. But Father, those that know you will be strong and do exploits, will do great and mighty works. Jesus said, greater works shall we do. So we don't accept mediocrity, but Father, we strive for excellence in every area. And I thank you that you are blessing everyone here so much that they can be a blessing everywhere they go, and they can give into every good work, and they don't have to worry. Amen. Lord, I thank you, Father. Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can give.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody laid back today? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody expecting a miracle?
Amen.
Anybody still believes in miracles?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 9. As soon as you got it, say, I got it. Okay, good. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, 2's got it. Amen. All right. We need all the help we can get, don't we? We need all the help we can get. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If Father, we pray that your Spirit would be in this place today. Help us with this word. Help us hear it and obey it. Get your message across. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which gave such power unto men. Somebody say hallelujah. Say it one more time. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Which had given such power unto men. Everybody say power. Power to enforce freedom. Power to enforce freedom. They glorified God because they saw this powerful life that the people were living, this power that came from the Holy Spirit that enabled them to live freely. How many of you are doing what God wants you to do and He's still trying to free you up? Do you know everything, that every good thing that God's doing in our life, it's in order to bring us freedom and liberty? Everything, all your prosperity, how many are starting to experience some of that? Amen. All of your prosperity, all of your healing, all of your mental wholeness, all of those things are meant to do nothing but to give you freedom. Freedom to be who God wants you to be and freedom to experience Him. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we don't have to worry about our visitors this morning. They're charismatic. They know the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. They know the Holy Ghost. Look like they feel good. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise Him. I got a word from the Holy Ghost for you, too. He just brought it back to my remembrance. How many of you know God's given you a bunch of stuff and doing a bunch of stuff for you? Power to influence freedom. Given such power unto men. And the Holy Ghost says to us today, amen, all I really want is you. All I really want is you. You might want to write that down. That's going to help you out because we're finding ourselves. Now, we don't have much. That doesn't mean anything to us. But when we finally start to accumulate the things that God wants us to accumulate, out of all the things that we're going to do in life, all the things that we're going to accomplish in life, all the many souls you might think you might win, all the people you might think you want to deliver and set free, at the bottom of all of those things, all the good that we do or try to do, all the good, at the bottom line to all that thing, the only thing God really wants out of you, that doesn't mean you stop doing those things. Amen. Because when He has you, those things happen. But when the bottom line to all of that stuff, the only thing God really wants out of you is you. And all the other things are nothing but fruits. Amen. Fruit of Him having you. A fruit of Him having you is souls being saved. A fruit of Him having you is prosperity. Amen. A fruit of Him having you is all the thing, all these things that we read about, all these rules, and all, you know, all this stuff. How many feel that every once in a while it can get kind of hard because you feel that God requires so much? What it requires of you is nothing but fruit of Him having you. So in the end, you know, that kind of goes along with that scripture says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? What does that mean? What would it profit a man if he gained that? That mean, what would happen if I got out here and got everybody in the church saved, and, you know, and everybody in the church full of the Holy Ghost and all these other things, this place was just packed and all these things happened, but yet God didn't really have me? You know, you can do religious things and God not have you. You can give $1 million to the kingdom of God, yet God not have you. You can talk about Him, but He can't have you. You can hold your signs and banners and all those things, you know, and God yet not have you. What would it profit a man if you gain the whole world yet lose your own soul? Another scripture in the Bible I like says, he that takes his own spirit, or that can handle his own spirit, is greater than the one that can take a whole city. Say, God wants me.
God wants me.
Hallelujah. That's got to make some people feel good, huh?
Amen.
The bottom line is you. All right. Power to influence freedom. And that freedom that God wants to give us, they've given such power to man, that freedom is freedom to be one with God. Freedom to experience God with no stress. Amen? Do you know that's what prosperity is all about, the blessing's all about? Not just about us looking good. Thank God we can do that. But it ought to free you up. Free you up that you can worship God whenever you want to. Serve God whenever you want to. Amen? Pray whenever you want to without the pressure of the world chasing you down and hitting you up. Amen? Say, power to enforce freedom. Now, you notice that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had lots of chores and things that they had to do. You know, they had to make bricks. They had to build stuff. They had to hustle. And then when they weren't hustling, every once in a while, they were allowed to give God whatever left over from their hustle. You know, they would have to go be slaves. And as they were slaves, they'd work and work and work. And then on the part time, they'd serve the Lord. But notice when they went to get freedom from Pharaoh, what did Moses tell Pharaoh? He said, let these people go that they might be able to do what? Worship the Lord. Set them free so that they can worship the Lord. They just want to go and worship the Lord and they'll be back. But Pharaoh did not want to give them a break so that they might be able to worship the Lord. Don't you know that's what God wants? That's the top level of life on earth, is to be free to love God and to worship God without a whip on your back. You can take a break whenever you want to. Amen. You got more than enough money in the bank. Somebody say hallelujah. Things are taken care of. You're serving him enough that you can do whatever. He says, hey, I want you to go to Africa and run a revival. And you can do it right away.
Amen.
Say freedom.
Freedom.
To be able to do those things. Somebody say hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse 37. Power to enforce. Somebody say power. To enforce freedom. You're going to get up in the Holy Ghost, and some of you are getting into the Holy Spirit, and you're going to find that the real Holy Ghost has power to enforce freedom. It's going to change your life. It's going to set you free from some things. Set you free from whatever you're bound to. Habits. Amen. Control. All of those things, the real Holy Ghost will always set you free.
Amen.
The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost sets us free, but you got to stay in to stay free. You have to stay in the Holy Ghost to stay free. I'm finding some wonderful things happening in my life. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I have to stay in the Holy Spirit to stay free. Because even that blessing that God gave me will become a cage. Amen. If I don't stay free, I don't want to be a caretaker of the blessings of God. That's crazy. No, I want to stay free. So I have to stay in the move of the Holy Ghost to keep going in Him. All right. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, the Lord prophesied to us on Friday night. He said, listen, this is going to be the season that he will manifest himself as Savior. He's always been Savior. Amen. He's always been good. He's always been gracious. But there are different seasons, amen, when he reveals himself, amen, in certain areas. And he's going to reveal himself as Savior in this season. And the Holy Ghost wants us to know, listen, the harvest is truly plenty. There are a lot of people that want to know about Jesus. There are a lot of people that want to be free. Now, we can say, oh, nobody out there wants the Lord. You're a liar, because Jesus said the harvest is truly plentiful. Say, it's out there.
It's out there.
Whatever you need from God, it's out there. Don't you ever go to God and say, look, there's nothing, there's not enough. He's the God that is more than enough. There are more than enough souls out there. There's more than enough jobs out there. There's more than enough money out there. There's more than enough food out there. There's more than enough housing out there. So say, more than enough. Whatever you need to harvest in, it's out there. But you know what's few? Laborers. Kind of goes with, you know, faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead.
That means, listen, it's out there. What you're believing God for, it's truly out there in abundance. God doesn't have to create it. It's already there. Amen. But you got to exercise some faith and put some action to it. Amen. To see that stuff start to manifest. Let me say laborers are few. Ooh, glory to God. What God has for you, what He has spoken to you, it's already there. All you've got to do is step out in faith, amen, and watch and see what happens, and He's going to perform it, amen? Now, I know that Scripture's talking about souls, but you can apply that to any area of your life. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
You can apply that to any area of your life. The harvest is truly plentiful. He's plenteous in healing, isn't He? Plenteous in grace. Plentiful in power. But you've got to get out there, amen, and work it a little bit. Somebody say, work it. You've got to work the Word of God. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. I can prophesy till I'm blue in the face. But it won't profit you anything, the Bible says, if you don't mix it with a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith is not just believing it. Believing and faith are two completely different things. Believing and faith are two different things. You've got to do more than just believe it. You've got to put some faith in it. Faith means do something about it. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a twofold message here. It's really about the power of God. How to activate the power of God in your life to cause some things to happen. Somebody say hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when He had called unto His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Who did He give that power to? Who did He give that power to? Did He give it to church members? No. He didn't give it to church members. That's cracked me up. Every church member going out there trying to do stuff. He didn't give it to church members. He didn't even give it to church goers. He didn't give it, somebody say hallelujah,
hallelujah,
to bumper sticker car drivers. He didn't give that kind of power to them. There are a whole lot of people out there trying to direct traffic. It'd be like this power is authority. That power means authority. It means it's like a badge. He gave them a badge and authority to go out there and police some stuff.
Amen.
And there are a whole lot of people out there policing, amen, with no badge. They're out there directing traffic, getting run over by cars, amen. No badge whatsoever. You go to jail for that kind of stuff. You know, I thought about that every once in a while. I want to go buy myself one of those little lights that you could put on your dashboard. And I want a badge so whenever somebody cuts me off, I want to just flip the light on and then just drive by them and look at them like that. But you're going to go to jail for that. He didn't give, now I can just say, oh, you're talking the truth. Pastor, you're wrong about that. When's the last devil you cast out? When's the last sick person you healed without a bottle of Tylenol? Amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, Pastor, you're so wrong. That's not true. If you got it, then do something with it. Well, He gave me that power, and I'm going to go over to the hospital and take you with me and see what you can do. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if they don't get up, I'm going to beat you up. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so sick of hearing Christians lie. I can do this, I can do that, but can't do anything. Amen. They told us at Bible school, he said, until, you know, everybody was ready to lay their hands on somebody. Oh, I'm going to lay my hands on you. They say, well, it'd be better to lay your hands on a toilet bowl and clean it. Amen.
Yeah.
Find out what works. Then work your way up.
Amen.
But He gave that power. We're just going to save some people some time and some embarrassment. Amen. We're going to save people a lot of time and a lot of embarrassment. But He gave that power to His disciples. I'm going to say disciples.
Disciples.
That means student. That means someone that wants to be exactly like who they're following. So if you don't want to be like Jesus, and you don't want to study in the school that Jesus had, amen, don't expect to carry His badge around anywhere. But when you make up your mind that you want to live like Jesus, things start to happen.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
then you'll see some of those things start to manifest. So he called, someone say, called unto him his 12 disciples. Now, y'all know I am Wesleyan Arminian to the bone, but there is something to that. There is something to the calling of God. It is sovereign. And we, you know, the Lord calls those who he wants to be saved. I believe we all have a free choice, amen, but I can't find anybody, that I can't see the grace of God wooing them to salvation. You might think you're here because you found out something that somebody didn't know, or you found about Jesus and just made a decision to be saved. I think so, but I think God had a little bit more to it, because I know you're crazy, and I know I'm crazy. And how can you blow all these major decisions in your life and make this good one, and stick to it? It's God's grace. It's his grace and it's his power that did it. Well, Pastor Rod just preached good. No. Or I just figured I was better than somebody else and I just decided to come. I'm so glad I decided. No, he called you. And thank God that you heard. And those disciples that he called, don't take the calling of God lightly. Leave me alone. God's calling you for a purpose and for a reason. He's calling you to be his disciples. And he gave them, some say them power over. I used to tell people all the time, Pentecost, I grew up in old time Pentecost. And they would tell people to sit down all the time. You don't have any power, sit down. Scream all you want to, but you can't, power is power. Come on. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So if you want power to make a difference, amen, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You got to study a bit. You got to pray a bit, whether you like it or not. You know that? So this kind cometh not out by prayer and fasting. That means a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Just Jesus had his disciples. He was always getting them up and say, hey, it's time to go to pray. How many of you are a disciple of Christ and he's calling you to the place of prayer? He's calling you to worship. See, we got this new theology thing going on, and it's so out there. We're lumping everybody in together. Don't you know that there is a multitude? There was a multitude that followed Jesus. Then don't you know there was a congregation that followed Jesus? Then there was a group that followed Jesus. But then there were those disciples. Then even after disciples, there was another three that he took with them everywhere. Don't you know? And everybody said, well, it's all the same. It's all the same. No, there was one time in the Bible said, now this one, he gave special power. Special grace upon him that even he would walk by and, amen, his shadow would start to heal people. And he gave them power to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to do certain things. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, you're called to flow in the power of God. Say it again. You're called to flow in the power of God. And your calling is no different than the disciples that walk with Jesus. He didn't change the certificate or the requirements. See, it's amazing. Everybody wants to walk like Peter walked and Paul walked and do all this other stuff, but we don't want to suffer any. We don't want to pray. We want to walk in the same anointing that Jesus walked in. Amen. And we want to live any kind of way we want to live. Talk any way we want to talk. Amen. Show up when we want to show up. Amen. And then expect to flow in this power that some of them had to lay down their life to get. Somebody say hallelujah. We want to call ourselves a witness or a martyr, amen, but come on, what group are you in, amen? Back then when they said they were witnesses, that meant they were martyrs. That meant something to them. They were willing to die for the call, amen. We wouldn't even give up a Kentucky Fried piece of chicken, amen, if God called us sometime. I mean, he calls us to get up just to pray for 15 minutes, amen, and you're going to have an attitude. But look at the calling that he told some of them. He said, forget everything that you got, amen, and sell it to the poor. Sell it and give what you have to the poor and follow me. Amen. And ever since then, we think that he's been on red light specials for anointing and for graces. There's no biblical evidence for it. Amen.
and he called his disciples and said, I'm going to give you some power. And we don't see any power today. It's because we don't have any disciples today. We got too many church members. Amen. Too many churchgoers. Amen. Too many radio listeners. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody told me, you know, this gospel or this ministry, this anointing, it's free, but yet it costs you everything. I mean, what do you have to lose when he said he'll take care of you and provide for you and make a way out of no way? He's already proven himself again and again and again. So say free. Free to be a disciple. I can't afford to go to Bible school. I can't. Don't you know I got all this stuff going on? You liar. If I can, you can. I can't afford to go to church. I'm busy. Give me your schedule and I'll give you my schedule. Yes, you can. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. So he gave them power. Somebody say power.
Power.
To release freedom. Go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. You're about ready to get out of here. I'm talking about power, people. Power. You can have prosperity. Thank God for it. But I'd rather have some prosperity and some power. Power. Matthew 22, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, so you don't know the word, nor the power of God. See, there are a lot of people that want to see, if you don't know the word, his word, what's the power? For we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Didn't it say that? And there are a lot of people that don't even reverence the word of God. Amen. They want flow, but they can't hear a message preached or sit through a Bible class. They want to lay their hand on people who don't know the first thing about biblical healing. Come on. And wonder why they're all messed up. And he says, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So if you're not going to, you know, a lot of people want to get their hands on God's power, but they don't want to get their hands on the word, which is the power. There are a lot of jobs that you go to. We used to tell people that all the time. You go to McDonald's, they're not even going to put you on a French fry machine until you study the manual. You'll burn yourself up. I mean, you can't even work a French fry machine. You couldn't go there and work in a printing shop and touch a paper cutting press unless you read at least three paragraphs. You know what? And life and spirituality is eternal. But we want to, you know, just walk in here, amen, get a little goosebump down the back of our spine and mess up somebody's life for all eternity. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Somebody say, you do err. Not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. If you don't know the word, you don't know the power. That's no power. That's a bunch of noise. That's a bunch of noise. You've been watching too much TBN. See, there are a lot of people that have learned TBN. They're just acting. They don't understand. I'm not talking about TBN acting. But there are a lot of people that play the part. And you don't got to understand. There's a big part going out there. I mean, I tell you, I got an assignment for you. I'm not coming against my brothers and sisters in Christ. But you want to see something scary? Turn it on one day and just turn the sound down and look at them. I'm never watching it again. Because one day I was working at the house and I had it on and I just had the TV going on and the sound was completely down. And I was just watching, there was no sound coming out. And my God, I used to think before, you know, everybody, I came to Texas to Bible school because I wanted to go to Tulsa Bible school. Because I thought if you really had the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you had to have a southern accent. Yo! And the Lord says unto thee, yea. Yay, come on. And you ever notice people that when they prophesy, they get like that? You know what that is? That's culture. That's not the Holy Ghost. Yeah. They haven't separated the real presence of God from the culture. They're playing a part. And they don't even understand they're playing the part. You know, you go up there and look at it, you turn on Rod Parsley. That's Rod Parsley's anointing, but they got about 100 nuts, all of them sitting up there acting like Rod Parsley. That's not them. That's his anointing. 1,000 of them. So say, glory to God. I'm telling the truth. Doer. You know all the parts. You know all the jigs. All the shakes. Come on. Know exactly when the jerk. Got it all together. Know everything but the word. So that ain't going to help nobody. See, there are a lot of people that don't experience the power of God. Amen. Because there's no power in the way people act. Power in what they know about the Word of God. Reminds me of all those people, you know, the prophets of Baal, were out there doing all that stuff, making all that noise, cutting themselves up, working up. They knew all the stuff that everybody had done in the past, and none of that stuff worked. Amen. But the one prophet, amen, knew God. And he knew what God wanted to do. Amen. And what he knew about God and what he knew that God wanted to do, that turned into power. Somebody say hallelujah. You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get there. You'll be out of here at 12:30. That's still earlier than most charismatics. Some of them started earlier than us. Amen. And they didn't even get a cup of coffee. I used to tell people, y'all get over it. Y'all getting your service time in. Amen. People get to church, and if they have to stay 20 minutes over, they're ready, about ready to come out of their skin. I'm thinking, why in the world do you want to go to heaven?
Amen.
I mean, you can't hang with church for an extra 15 minutes, but you want to go to heaven, amen, where they worship around the throne for hours and hours. And some of you can't take a second verse. I mean, you got ready to manifest. If we sang that verse one more time, you're about ready to manifest and punch somebody. Amen. You're not going to be up there punching them angels. They've been floating around the throne for thousands of years. Holy, holy, is a lamb, is a lamb. You're not going to go there. Well, I mean, to you, that would be hell. I mean, come on. They just kept singing that same song and same song and same song. I got to get out of here. Help me. Y'all got any opens down there in hell? They won't shut up. Don't you know we like that sometimes? Let me go get this church thing over with. Amen. Oh, come on, preacher. It's 15 minutes over. And all of y'all getting saved, and all of y'all get hearing the word, trying to live right, do right, to go to heaven, to sit in church all day long. Amen. They're not taking no lunch breaks in heaven. So say, get used to it. You might want to rethink it and fall in love to God and learn to worship down here so you can hang there.
Amen.
That's what you're going to heaven for, to worship. I mean, people think they're just going to heaven to sit around some big mansion. You need to know the Bible. You got a problem. Them old saints used to tell me, there's one woman that preached 98 years old. Amen. She was telling them off, Gloria. Kojic lady, telling them off. Some of y'all singing them songs. You know them songs aren't in the Bible. I'm going to go up to heaven and walk around heaven all day. You know, people singing songs, I'm going to go to heaven and walk around heaven all day long. God's got more for you than just walk around heaven all day. Then suddenly there's another song they used to sing, I'm going to go to heaven and just sit down. And just sit down. Isn't that sad? Go up to heaven and be lazy. No, God's got more for you to do. God's got more for us to do. Can you see how messed up our thinking is?
Amen.
So we can deal with another couple minutes of church and I can get through this. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at somebody and say, you want to go to heaven and be lazy? When you think about heaven, are you thinking about the streets of gold and the big mansion? You can go get that today. Just go find yourself a realtor and go pretend like it's your house. No, I'm serious. You can just go make pretend. Just go in and just hang out like it's your house. You don't have to go to heaven to get that. You can have a big house. There's more to heaven than a big mansion. Seriously.
Amen.
More to heaven than a big mansion of streets of gold and wearing white robes. We don't have to live like this and preach the gospel and get a white robe. I'd go buy a white robe. Think how messed up we are and how screwed up our thinking is. Gold's not, if you really want gold, you can get some gold. You can have a gold sidewalk if it really meant that much to you down here. You don't have to go to heaven to get a gold sidewalk. Going to heaven is all about Jesus and it's all about God.
Amen.
Amen. You can be prospered down here. If they can do it in Vegas, we can. Come on. They're more than heaven. I mean, some of you, you know, amen. Sinners have done it.
Amen.
Sinners have done that. There's more than heaven than just streets of gold and big mansions. Amen.
Amen.
You're screwed up. You need to be delivered and set free. Come on. I don't know why I'm preaching this. Must be prophesying. Amen. Trying to help some people. Amen. I can get a nice car, a nice suit. I might just give you all some, buy some sheets, make everybody some white robes, and then tell them, now what you going to do? Oh, glory to God. Some say, you do err. Yeah. Not knowing the scriptures, knowing the power of God. You better start to know Jesus. And a lot of people are going to heaven because they're afraid to go to hell. That doesn't qualify. That doesn't work. Amen. I mean, you want to clear out some churches, especially some Baptist churches, go there and tell them, amen. Amen. You're not going to go to hell. They clear that place out. They clear that place out. They just sitting up in church because they don't want to go to hell. That doesn't make it qualify. That doesn't work. You go to heaven because you want to be with Jesus.
Yes.
You want to worship God. You want to love God. Matthew chapter 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Some say mountain. That Jesus told them to get to. Now, mountains usually represent governments as well. Amen. And so he sent them into Galilee, and they had to get up into a mountain, and they saw him, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Somebody say hallelujah. Worship and doubt in the mountain of God. Go to Mark chapter 3, verse 13. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'd like to see everybody, all of us achieve. Now, we can have some people that just go to church. We'll take it. We'll take it, but there's a higher lifestyle that we really want to have. I want you to be blessed enough that you can do whatever God tells you to do whenever you feel like doing it. Somebody say hallelujah. And it works.
Amen.
And it works. It really works. So say the mountain.
Mountain.
Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. There's a mountain that God wants you to come to. There is a mountain that God is calling you to. Somebody say hallelujah. You can ascend on the mountain of God in your life. Not called to be down in the valley, just kicking and scratching your way and waiting for somebody to come down and tell you what's going on. God's calling you up to the mountain yourself. And he's calling all of, and he's making ways for it to happen. It's easy. All you got to do is have a little bit of faith.
Amen.
God's telling you to start a business. Why? Not because he wants to give you some new shoes. Doesn't take a new business to get you a new pair of shoes. No, he's trying to prosper you so you can come to the mountain. And he ordained the 12 that they should be with him. That's what it's all about. Some say to be with God.
To be with God.
That they might, that he might send them forth to preach. How much does it cost to get you to preach and tell somebody about Jesus? Call you up to the mountain, and he gave and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. That's where God wants to get us off. Free enough that we just hang around Jesus. Hang around Jesus. Let's flip it. Let's start to give the world 10%.
Amen.
Let's start to give God, amen, 90%. Amen. Come out, you know, I'm moving a company around here where I can be in the Word. Amen. It's still birth. Amen. Get up there with God and go out in the meantime and make a couple $1,000. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
At lunch break.
Thank you, hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Imagine what would happen. You get all full with the Holy Ghost and the favor of God. You start being blessed. Your business is blessed by the favor of God. Amen. Because you're not working backwards. God wants you to work forward. Working backwards is, you know, oh, I'm just hustling and hustling and hustling. Let me go give God a little bit so I can keep doing it. No, flip it around the other way and see what happens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe it and do it. Hallelujah. Say unto the mountain. All right. And he gave them power. And to say unto the mountain, stay on the mountain until you are familiar with the power there. Some of you come down from the mountain early. You don't have anything yet. And what I'm talking about this mountain, I'm talking about the place of worship, the place of knowing where God is, his provision, his power. Stay on the mountain until you are familiar with the power there. Make sure the power you are flowing with on earth was demonstrated on high. Before you can know what his will is here on earth, you must see his power in action in the heavens. Stay in the power of God, the presence of God. Amen. And before you can know what God wants to do with you on the outside, you need to get into the place of worship and see all of his possibility, all of his capability, his desire for your life. Amen. Go to the mountain to see what should be. Somebody say hallelujah. Go to the place where God wants you. Go to worship. Amen. Get into the realm of the Spirit and stay there until you can see what your life should be. Say, go to the mountain until you're endued. Go to Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Two things, I'm getting there. Worship and doubt. Worship and doubt. You can tell how high someone is by their worship. When God brought the children of Israel through the wilderness, he was taking them to the mountain of ordination. Those that were worshiping were on the mountain. Those that were doubting were in the wilderness. Leave the wilderness through worship. You can tell where you are by the confession of your mouth as well. Your attitude determines your altitude. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. And this is what you want to see in the mountain. Stay in the mountain until you know this. Then we're out of here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what's on the mountain. That's all that's going on in the mountain of God, in the presence of God, in the realm of the Spirit. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time. Until you've heard him say that. Amen. Stay there. Some say glory to God.
Glory to God.
All right, stand up right where you are. Glory to God. Anybody want to go up to the mountain with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's easy to go there now. Before, you just had to go there. Amen. It's easy to go there now. God's made a way.
Amen.
You're not going to the mountain now. It's just total. There's no reason not to go to the mountain, but basic doubt, unbelief, and rebellion. Amen. Basic doubt, unbelief. You can't lie on God. It's easy to get to the mountain. Amen. What doors he opens and how quickly he opens them. I can't afford it. Here's a job. Somebody say glory to God. It's easy to go there. You just got to be willing to go. And God will bless you there. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we bless your people. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for power. We thank you for what you're about to do in our lives and in this season to come. Move in the midst of your people, Father God. Move in the midst of your people. Continue to bless. Continue to increase their faith. Open the doors that you want open. Say the words that you want said. Anoint their ears, Father God, that they would hear your voice. Give them supernatural focus and supernatural peace. Right now in the name of Jesus. And just for 30 seconds, let's just pray in the Holy Spirit together. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, brother. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, Rabban Sande Rabosike Mahanda. Loto Rabosandra Ramahanda Rabosarabahai. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need you, Father God. We need you in the valley, Father God. We need you on the mountaintop, Father God.
Lord, we need you more when we don't think that we need you, Father God. That's when we need you the most, Father God. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. We want to walk in the supernatural, Father God. We want to walk out your word. We want to walk out your life. You are real, oh God, every day. Not just on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, Father God. But, Father God, you're manifesting yourself in every way. Everyone we meet, Father God, was sent by your voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Father God. Lord, manifest your will right now in the name of Jesus. Don't let us separate any area of our life from you, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, everything we do is you. Hallelujah. Everything we have is yours. Lord, we do not want any independence from you in any way, Father God. We are totally dependent upon you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all have a good coffee, cup of coffee. We'll see y'all tonight. Amen.